Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
O God, eternal Creator, who on the first day of creation called forth light out of darkness, who on the first day of age to come brought life from the tomb, grant to us your Holy Spirit by the pure light of Easter morning, that it might shine within our lives and make us children of light. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord, who is himself the light of the world. Amen. So this famous verse at the start of 1 Corinthians 15, what it is of the gospel, when Paul delivers the gospel, he says that he delivered it of first importance to you, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And Paul here unpacks the importance of the gospel, and we might go to this passage. What is the gospel? Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day and appeared to the 12. This is the gospel. He died. He rose again. Paul continues looking at the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection of Christ and the importance of the resurrection of Christ to the believer. In verse 12 and 14, he says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then how then not even Christ has been raised? If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain." And we talk about Friday or Thursday, depending on when you think he was crucified, a lot. And we talk about Sunday a lot, but we don't necessarily think about what Saturday means for the believer. Spend a lot of time thinking of these other places, but we don't think about that Saturday. We don't think about the day when the lifeless body of Jesus Christ was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. We think about the seven sayings on the cross. We think about his final words, "It is finished." Think about him turning to the thief and saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We don't talk about Saturday. We're quick to jump to Sunday. And rightly so, the Bible does deal a lot, not about his death, his burial, as much as it does his resurrection. But Saturday was a cold and dark day. The body of our Savior was wrapped in linen. His cold body lay there, dormant. His heart was still, did not pump blood throughout his body. His lungs were empty and no air flowed from his mouth. Christ, the one who sustains heaven and earth, and the body in which he is hypostatically united to, was still. No neurological messages were sent from his brain. The only eternal begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity, was hypostatically united to a corpse. In that dark, cold, damp tomb of Joseph of Arimathea lay the Savior of the world, the one who has raised Lazarus from the dead. His body is now still dead. However, if this ended right on Saturday, this would be the end of our faith. It would be futile. Paul writes in verse 17, "If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and so you still are in your sins." If Saturday had been it, the closing of the chapter, we would have no rejoicing, no reason to rejoice, only sorrow. We would only have debt and no hope. We would only have death and no life. Yet, we rejoice that Saturday was not all, not the close of a chapter. We sing hallelujah because Christ was raised up by God. Peter explains in Acts chapter 2 that God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Paul, at the end of chapter 15 says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In verse 22, that all in Adam die, but in also in Christ they all shall be made alive. Not only was Christ resurrected, his heart began to beat, his lungs began to pass air. His brain started to send signals. No longer was the second person in the Trinity hypostatically united to a corpse. He was united to a living man. That we actually follow after him. That we follow after him. That he is the first fruits and we follow after him. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:35 asks this simple question. Some will ask, how are the dead to be raised? What kind of body do they come? Why and what? O foolish person, O senseless in the Greek, O senseless person. One of my favorite translations of this is, are you a simpleton? What you sow isn't life. You sow death, and what comes from sowing is death is life. And Paul uses these three illustrations in 1 Corinthians 15 that it's like a seed in a plant. In verses 36 to 38, and the seed must die to grow the plant. And the seed of the plant determines the body that is going to come up. The seed determines what fruit is going to grow. So the earthly body is the seed. The earthly body goes into the ground. But the resurrection body is greater than the seed. It's the tree, it's the fruit. Second illustration he gives is the flesh and animals in verse 39. There's a difference between the flesh of man and the flesh of animals, the flesh of birds and fish. And God has created everything to fit its own environment. And our resurrection body will fit us in our eternal state. And he uses outer space, the universe, verses 40 to 41. Sun and the moon and the stars have a celestial glory. They're all different. Every star is different from every other star. And in our glorified bodies, we retain our individuality. The Christ is Lord is risen today. It's not merely stating historical fact when we read the Scriptures. It is a historical fact, but it's not merely a historical fact. It's a theological truth that has hope for the future for you and me. If Christ had not been raised, our faith is futile and you're still in your sins. So it is with your resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It goes dishonor. Sown in dishonor is raised in glory. Sown in weakness is raised in power. The natural and the spiritual. The comparison between Adam and Jesus. The natural comes before the spiritual. The seed comes before the fruit. And in Adam, we all have this earthly likeness made from dirt. In Christ, we have this spiritual likeness made from the heavens. Christ became sin. Christ stepped in to come that seed for us. He came to earth. He put on a dust body. He came imperishable. He came in dishonor. He came in weakness, in the natural. And he was put into the tomb. The seed that was sown, and then raised. Imperishable, raised in glory, raised in power, raised in spiritual. Jesus, the second Adam, raised in this heavenly body. We should talk about Saturday, because Saturday is important. Because without Christ and the resurrection, Saturday is our end. Saturday, we're dead, we're lifeless, we're cold, there's no hope of escape. We're in our perishable body, incorruptible body. We're defeated, dishonored, in weakness and dust. This is why in Abraham in chapter 18 of Genesis says that when he talks to God, he says, "But I'm but ashes and dust, dust and ashes." When we say goodbye to loved ones and lower them into the heart of the earth, we cover them with dirt and say a nice word or two about them, maybe place something on their tombstone. We place flowers next to them. Why do we place flowers on a corpse? We place flowers on a corpse because Christ's tomb is empty on Sunday. He is risen. And every Sunday we gather together as God's people to rejoice that He is risen. That His resurrection also means that as we are united to Him, we also will be resurrected just like Him. We celebrate not only Christ's resurrection, but the hope of our resurrection to come. We place flowers on a funeral because flowers signify life. The doctrine of the resurrection is full of joy to the bereaved. What we do is we clothe our grave with flowers and wreaths because there's life there. The seed has been sown. One day this body will be raised from the dead just as Christ is raised from the dead. We celebrate that at Easter. We celebrate that every Sunday with Christ's resurrection, but also ours to come. At a funeral of a man, Thomas Brooks says that the death of his funeral shall not only be the death of his life, but the death of his sins, his sorrows, his afflictions, his temptations, his desertions, oppositions, vexations, oppressions, and persecution. And he knows that the death shall be the resurrection of his hopes, his joys, his delights, his comforts, his contentments. That it shall bring him to a more clear, full, perfect, and constant enjoyment of God. Place a body in a ground as Christ was placed in the ground. We put with that our sorrows, our afflictions, our temptations. But the hope of the resurrection says that the resurrection, the death is not it. We have the hope and the joys, the delights, the comforts and contentments to bring that clear, full, constant enjoyment of God. We don't just celebrate Saturday, the death of Christ. We celebrate Sunday, the life of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Because in Christ we have eternal life. We celebrate not only Christ's life, but our life that is found in Christ. That no longer we are lifeless, hopeless in our sin, but we have life. We have been filled. We're warm, alive. We have hope of heaven. We have hope of the imperishable, the glory, the power, the victorious nature that Christ has conquered death, that death has lost its sting, raised in our spiritual bodies. That we're no longer man of dust, but man of heaven. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Paul in Romans 6 explains that if we have been united to Him in a death like His, then certainly we shall be unified with Him, united with Him in a resurrection like Him. Do we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin? For we, one who has died, was set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate Christ raising from the dead because that gives us hope. Because our wages is death. Without Christ, we are hopeless. Without the resurrection of Christ, we are no better. Christ conquered death. His receipt is that he is risen again. The hope for us is that Christ is risen again. And then therefore our faith is not futile, and therefore we are still not in our sins. We've died with Christ. We believe that we also live with him. Richard Baxter explains that the stars of heaven do differ from the cloud of dirt or a ditch. So will our glorified immortal bodies differ from this mortal corruptible flesh. If a skillful workman can turn a little earth and ashes into a curious transparent glass, as we daily see, and if a little seed that bears no such a thing can produce the more beautiful flowers of the earth, a little acorn can bring forth the greatest oak. Why should we once doubt whether a seed of everlasting life and glory, which has now blessed our souls with Christ, can by him communicate a perfection of the flesh that is dissolved into its elements? Look at a tall oak tree. You think about the vastness, the splendor. Look at the deep roots that flow throughout the ground. You turn and you look at an acorn. No glory in an acorn besides what will come of that, and that is so too our resurrection. There's no glory in our body. Our body is merely just the acorn. The resurrection shows forth the glory of the great tree. Paul here exactly in 1 Corinthians 15 explains the hope of the gospel found in the gospel in the first three verses or so that I delivered to you of first importance, that Christ was dead, died, crucified according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas. And this here is the gospel, and then he goes on to explain how the gospel applies to the life of the believer, that the resurrection is the hope of heaven, the seed which will soon blossom. Philippians 3:10 explains that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. We look to Christ. We look to Christ dead in that tomb. We want to be united with him, that we would have the resurrection like Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that that tomb is indeed empty, that life was breathed into his lungs, that you rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, we give you thanks that the pangs of death could not hold him down. Lord, that death has lost its victory, death has lost its sting because of the resurrection of Christ. Lord, let us too look to our resurrection, the death of our sins, the rising of a Christ-like nature in us, that we would be Christ-like in what we do. Lord, put a death to our sins, raise us into that glorious state. Lord, as we look forward to the hope of heaven, the hope of heaven found in our resurrected body, Lord, we look backwards to the hope found and shared in Christ's resurrection, that we too are united in a resurrection like his. Let us know you, and let us know the power of the resurrection, that we might know that we will be resurrected from the dead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for his glory and his gospel.